Do you ever feel frustrated or angry when you spend time with Christians who have different views or practices than you? Maybe you've never even met these people in person, but you maybe read a book or you listened to a sermon. Do you wonder what to do when it appears that your conscience and another believer's conscience clash over things like food, holidays, or entertainment? Do you want to learn how to live in harmony and peace with your brothers and sisters in Christ, even when you don't see eye to eye? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then this video is for you. In this video, we will explore what the Apostle Paul teaches us in Romans 14 about how to deal with disputable matters among Christians. We will discover how each of us has to work out our own salvation with God without judging or condemning those who might differ from us. We will also learn how to respect the convictions of others. So by watching this video, you will gain a deeper understanding of the principles of love and the motives of the hearts and how to apply them in your everyday life. Don't miss this opportunity to grow in your faith and in your relationship with your fellow Christians. Watch this video now and learn how to love your fellow Christians when you disagree.
God's Resistance.
Thank you for tuning into God's Resistance here this morning. Glad that you are tuned in. We're continuing our study here in Romans, the book of Romans. We're in Romans 14. We're going to go through the first 12 verses here this morning. Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. So the very first thing that we should look at is when he says, it says him that is weak. What is a brother or sister who is weak? What does that mean? Does that mean that this person is not saved? Does it mean that this person is just a baby? What does it mean? I would venture to say that this is not talking about somebody who is not saved. This is talking about somebody who is saved, and maybe because of their background, whether they came from a pagan background, or maybe they came from the background of Judaism, and they were still hanging on to a lot of different things in life. This time in the New Testament, before AD 70, was kind of like this fuzzy time where a transition was taking place from the old to the new covenant. The temple was still standing. There was a lot of things that were going on. And then in addition to that, it wasn't just Jews from every nation, but it was Gentiles as well. So now you've got all these pagan backgrounds coming in. And because of that, people may have certain different convictions based on where they came from and thinking, I don't want to go back there. This must be the way to go here. And so some people had a weak faith, thinking that they were held in bondage to certain things that maybe in most absolute sense, Christ didn't hold them in bondage to, but they still held on to it because their conscience wouldn't allow them to go away. So he says here, him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. So instead of you, maybe you think you're the one that's strong in faith. So I've got my rights. I'm going to stand my ground and do whatever. He says, no, that's not the way of love. That's not the way of how to handle this. He says, in fact, what you should do is receive that one that you perceive to be weak, unnecessarily doing things that, you know, maybe are don't matter in the most absolute sense. Receive them, but don't receive them so that you can then disagree and start arguing about things that really, it's not going to help them in their matter of salvation, not going to help them to be more Christ-like. So he says, him that's weak in the faith, receive that person as a brother, as a sister, right? Receive them as part of the body of Christ. You're a part of the body of Christ. Receive them. Don't hold them off at arm's length simply because they differ with you about these things, not to doubtful disputations. And I've seen this so many times inside of church circles. You know, one person, it's one thing if we're talking about absolutes. We cannot compromise on absolutes. Absolutes are for everyone. But then there are other things where we're trying to flesh out, what does the scripture say? How do I walk in this? How do I live this out? And so we make certain choices. Some of those things are not so spelled out inside of the Bible, but they're personal convictions. And each one of us needs to have those personal convictions because we're interacting with the living Christ through his word. And then we have to live these things out. But we're not to then receive somebody in so that we can make them see our personal convictions. If they ask us about them, no doubt, give them an answer. Tell them what needs to be happening. But we cannot make personal convictions God's word. And I think that's what's going on. But the sad thing is people do that, and then they end up pushing out the very people whom Christ died for, pushing out the very people who are blood-bought Christians that walk with Jesus with all their heart, that walk in all the light that they have, and here we find ourselves arguing. And then the world looks on and wonders, what's going on in there? There's a whole lot of disunity and trouble in there. Why do I even want to be a part of that? Unfortunately, that happens all too much. But he says, him that's weak in the faith, if you perceive somebody to be that way, don't receive them, but not with doubtful disputations. The ironic thing is, most of the people that are seemingly overzealous about things and really want to split hairs about it, according to Paul here, they're the ones that are dubbed as weak Christians. It's the other ones that look at it and think, I really think that that is something we need to concern ourselves with. That's not really what's there in the Bible. If you want to do that as an individual, go ahead, go do that. And so it's the person that seems to find that there is more liberty, and liberty is not a license to sin, by the way, but they find more liberty and find that they don't have to be entangled with this yoke of bondage that other people are putting on. But that person says, you know what? I can still love you. I can still be friends with you. You're my brother. You're my sister. And so we receive them, but not for doubtful disputations to have a big argument. He said, why? For one, in verse 2, for one believeth that he may eat all things, and another who is weak eateth herbs. So we find here, this must have been the issue that was going on there in Rome, or maybe the Roman Empire, and must have been something Paul ran into a lot. But he says, some persons believe that they can eat everything. Another who is weak eats herbs. Why is that? If we look in the epistle to the Corinthians, we find that there was a problem there where sometimes sacrifices were sacrificed to gods. And so if you came out of a pagan background and then you watch that these things have been sacrificed to other gods, you may pull back and distance yourself and say, no, I'm not doing that anymore. All these meats are sacrifices to other gods that aren't the one and true and living God. So I'm going to eat vegetables, herbs. I'm going to do that all the rest of my life. I'm not touching these. But maybe the other person says, yeah, but those sacrifices that they're making, we know that there isn't even a God that they're talking about. There's only one true God. So it's not going to taint us because we know. And he's saying, listen, we're all trying to work out our salvation with fear and trembling, right? And so if this brother believes that all he wants to do is eat vegetables and that's what God wants him to do, allow him to do it. If you don't believe that, that's fine. You do what you believe, but we can live together because these aren't absolutes, right? And so that's how we're supposed to deal with these things. And there's still people today that believe you can't, you know, you've got to eat just vegetables and not meat. And I am astounded whenever that happens because I look back at this and I say it is clearly a matter of personal conviction at this point, according to Paul. But even there, I'm not going to go sit down and have an argument with somebody else about it. Now, I will say if you are around somebody else that maybe has these kind of convictions and they're trying to make it like it's absolute, like it's Bible, and they're scooping up other people and teaching them this is how it's supposed to be, then maybe I would have to step in and say something. And maybe you would have to step in and say something because you're watching them perhaps ruin somebody else or teach somebody else something that maybe entangles them in a yoke of bondage that's not necessary. Maybe you don't need to do that right in front of the other person, but maybe you can pull that one aside and say, listen, that other brother or that other sister, they're doing what they believe is right. But I do want you to understand that when we look in the New Testament, when we look throughout the scriptures, this is not necessarily something that God declares. This brother feels that this is how he has to live it out. So I just want to let you know that so that you're not entangled in a yoke of bondage that's unnecessary. Then we don't have to cause a huge problem with it. So then let's move to verse 3. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. Notice here, what is going on is an issue of motive, right? when we look at things in a religious sense, it's basically rules. Do this, don't do this. And if you line up, you're good. If you don't line up, you're not good. Notice here that what's being focused on is the motive. He says, if the person that thinks it's okay to eat everything, don't judge the other guy, don't judge him, vice versa. The one that doesn't believe it's okay to eat everything, don't judge the person that thinks it's okay, because God sees inside of the heart why they're doing what they're doing. And that's actually where we come into here in verse 4. For who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand, right? God's able to make this one stand. The best way that I can explain this is an illustration. Say my wife has a bunch of flowers that she planted outside, and one of my little boys, he thinks, I want to bless mommy. So he goes out and he rips the flowers out of the ground, brings them back in, dirt still on the roots, and says, mommy, I love you so much, and gives these flowers. Inwardly, my wife may think, oh, I wish he didn't rip those flowers out, but I understand where he's coming from. So she says, thank you, buddy. I'm so glad you did this. And then she says, you know what? These are mommy's special flowers. These flowers stay inside the ground, But then maybe she could go and say, there's other flowers that we could buy in a store, or that maybe we could cut them off the plant and then give those to people. But you always have to ask mommy first. If she said something like that, and then my little boy goes ahead and rips the flowers out again, now it's different. Now he's transgressed. Now he's doing something that's wrong. Whereas before, it was not wrong. It was a motive out of love, even though it was performed imperfectly. And that is kind of the idea here. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. Because people may be doing things thinking this is what God wants. God sees the heart. God can hold up that weak brother and make that one to stand, even if things are not quite the way that they should be in thinking at the moment. God sees the heart and deals with it that way. And we go in verse 5, one man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. So this could be maybe some of those times the Judaizers, people that were having a hard time making a shift, they maybe the certain feast days and things that were going on, they still kept, where in the gospel we realize those things were just shadows and types. It's not necessary. Let them esteem that day better than another day. And the other one, it doesn't matter. Let each one be fully persuaded in his own mind. For verse 6, he that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. He that eateth, eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks, and he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not and giveth God thanks. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. In other words, dear listener, what is going on is each one of these people are doing what they're doing because they believe it is pleasing to God, and it's not an absolute thing where we know it's right or wrong. These are issues of conscience and trying to flesh this out. And he says, God sees the heart, knows why they're doing it, and they're doing it because they believe that this is how they please God and serve him. To their own master, they stand or fall. And then he says in verse 7, for none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. In other words, the Christian has completely abandoned themselves over to Jesus Christ, and Jesus will be the final judge, even on these issues. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Wherefore, or whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. That's ultimately what's going on. I belong to Jesus. I am the Lord's now. I'm not my own. And so I'm not just doing these things simply for myself. And that helps us to realize we don't have to start arguments between one another because we're not doing it for ourselves. We're trying to follow Christ. And if I look over and see my brother doing things that I don't see in the scripture, but I see the heart behind it, that they're doing it because they believe that's what God wants, I'm just going to leave it alone. God will help us each one to flesh these things out. And we're not, again, countenancing sin. We are saying these are conscience issues people are trying to work out. So then let's move on over to here. For to this end, in verse 9, Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord, both of the dead and of the living. So here's the thing. Jesus Christ is King of kings and Lord of lords of the living and the dead. So if I live for Jesus, he's my Lord. If I die for Jesus, he's my Lord. That's the point. He is Lord of all. So dear listener, you've got to work that out. Is he Lord of your life? If he is, how should you do the certain things you're doing in your life? Look through the scriptures and apply it to your life, right? That's essentially what's going on here. Verse 10, but why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Excuse me. In other words, we can be so outfocused looking at the faults in everyone else and forget that I too have to stand before Jesus Christ. So I need to have a wide latitude of love and charity for fellow believers and say, you know what? I don't understand why they're doing what they're doing, but I love them nonetheless. And I have got to realize I've got to stand before him myself. So we're each going to help each other walk with Jesus, move forward, succeed, and walk in victory instead of getting into silly squabbles that do us no good. That's essentially what's going on. I keep saying that. Verse 11, for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. So, dear listener, this isn't about you, and it isn't about me. It's about Christ who died and rose from the dead, and every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So as you are thinking about those that you may disagree with, know this, love each other and look for each other to succeed. Make sure to subscribe, like, follow, turn on the notification bell so that you can be aware of all the content that comes out. Follow us on all our social media and visit godsresistance.com. We are thankful for you.